League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
One thing that happens when your co-host is female is she wears high heels and it takes her longer to walk down the hall. And so when she takes longer to walk down the hall, sometimes you begin a segment solo. Gio, can you affirm this is what is happening?
Yeah, that is what's happening. All you can hear is clack, 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 clack.
Clickety, clack, clack, clack. The heels are coming down the hall. She's running as fast as she can.
Woo!
She made it! She's back!
I just think she doesn't want you to say titillating anymore.
That's exactly right.
She wants to miss that part.
Tell the listeners what you learned at break, David.
Well, it's Rick Tittle's fault. I mean, he is the guy. It's his show, right? The show that we're filling in on today is called Rick Tittle, Titillating Sports, right? And I thought that was a real word, titillating. Turned out it's only close to a real word.
I thought it was a real word as well. So something we both learned something.
Carla, the English teacher.
Need girl power in the room to set this straight.
We don't need no
Goodness
dictionaries.
Sakes.
That's
We don't have time for dictionaries.
No, we're doing just fine, I think.
This is why I left you hanging. I was ready. I was just going to see how you handled it. You back for bringing up that word.
That word, the word,
every
the T word.
Segment.
I will not mention the T word for the rest of the show. Would that make you feel better?
I'll be on time for the next segments then.
Oh, thank goodness.
We're even now.
Well, titillating?
That word. Gio can say it. I just
Gio?
Can't.
Gio? Telling you?
Gio lets it
Gio,
ride.
Gio, we're going to tell stories about you.
Gio is not afraid of the T word.
He's not afraid of Carla either.
No, evidently not.
I'm definitely afraid of the now that I know you're a Raiders fan,
you should Princess of Darkness. You should be afraid.
Exactly. I can imagine every Sunday you color your face and wear those little the horns and everything.
Absolutely, I look like a Viking queen
exactly.
on Sundays. Not the Viking queens, but
hard to believe. And you know, and today
I belong in the black hole.
Well, today we've seen the dark side of Carla here. We've also learned that you walk the world with Catholic guilt for loving the NFL so much, though it's a brutal sport.
Seriously, do you have carry any of that?
I do.
Come on, what do Protestants carry?
You don't want a true confession here, do you?
Yes, we do.
Oh, no, there's too much to confess.
Oh, wait, on the other
Father,
side
Father, forgive
of this
me, one. Because I've got a lot to tell you. When we come back, we'll tell you a little bit more. In fact, I want to go to the whole piece of excuses. What are the best excuses anyone can come up with for wrongdoing? You'll get that when we come back on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Gio has expanded the repertoire.
Okay, wait a minute. All is this Take It Off? What are you men?
Shake It Off.
Shake It Off. Oh, okay, good. That's better.
Nobody's taking it off.
Okay, well, you know, you got to watch around you, too.
Well, I know Gio's got his shirt off, but other than that, he looks great.
This is so making myself comfortable here.
Yes, you know, you look fine. I mean, let it ride.
Yeah, Gio, you can do it.
Gio can do it. I'm just...
You go, Gio.
Most of us cannot. Now, listen. Usually, we save something like this for the He Said, She Said segment, that famous segment where we look at what sports luminaries say. But this one I found interesting. Actually, it's a series of comments by people who have failed the urine test for performance-enhancing drugs.
For all kinds of sports.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of sports. All kinds of excuses.
These are awesome. You're not going to want to miss these.
Wide receiver Jeremy Curley of the Jets has returned. He was suspended for 4 games for PED violation. He failed the test, and he had an excuse for why that happened. He said, well, first of all,
he was very confused why he failed the test.
Well, he should never have failed it, he said. He didn't know how that could have happened.
Right. What did he tell you?
He said that there are a lot of ghosts around here, and maybe a ghost put that foreign substance into his urine test. So he blamed it on a ghost.
He said, you know, the ghost of Christmas past. It is December. So perhaps.
I'm almost there, accepting that. Almost.
Gosh, I got to give him A plus for creativity.
It's a stretch. I mean, when you think of all the things that people say, you know, the dog ate my homework. A child says I was late because I didn't make it in by curfew because I had to stop and help somebody change a tire. You know, I was doing something good for somebody else, and that's the reason. Well, in this case, this man is innocent. Nothing that he did caused this failed drug test.
It was a poltergeist situation.
It was a poltergeist situation. And so I'm going to go with him on this one. True or false? We're going to go down a list of guys, a little situations, a little excuses. I'm going with this one. I'm with Jeremy. I believe in the ghost.
All right. I'm going to let you have that one.
Now, the next one's sort of interesting. Over the course of time, there have been those who failed the drug test and said that the reason was, well, at least one, Gil Roberts, said this. He was competing in USA track and field competition, and he was caught, or he failed the test. And he went to an arbitrator, and the arbitrator agreed with his argument that he may have accidentally failed the test because he was passionately kissing his girlfriend, and his girlfriend would have failed the test. There was something in the kissing that made him fail the test.
Do you know what's sad about this accident, this excuse? It's
yes.
Not the first time. This is this guy from USA Track and Field, Gil Roberts. Another Canadian pole vaulter used the same excuse. Tennis player Richard Gasquet tried this one too. This is a good one. This just blames it right on your drug addict girlfriends. How about that?
Well, why not? I mean, if you can't blame it on your drug addict girlfriend, who can you count on? And then, of course, she has to come forward and say, oh, yeah, I'm the drug addict girlfriend. She has to concede something there or the story won't follow through.
I mean, why even have a drug addict girlfriend if you're not going to blame it on her?
Gio makes an outstanding point.
And if she's really doing that much cocaine, she doesn't really care what's said about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like your standards are way lower once you...
That's true. When you're bottom fishing, that's what you get.
Well, now, I will respect the boundaries and the sanctity of this show and this studio, but I do think it's fair to ask. You have kissed somebody previously, Carla, have you not?
Taking the fifth.
Okay. Have you ever felt like you may have passionately kiss somebody so passionately that you would have passed on some sort of PED problem?
Here's
I mean, it's a legitimate question.
Did you
not agree?
Did you say you were respecting the boundaries of the studio?
Well, I thought. I mean, what are the boundaries
of
the studio?
Here's what I'm going to say. I've got David to my left. I've got Gio to my right. This is the company I keep.
Yes.
So I don't have to worry about ever being in the company of PED users because look who surrounds me.
Oh, no, I'm a heavy PED user. So.
Don't
Gio,
kiss
don't be
Gio.
Messing with me.
Do not kiss him deeply, passionately. I mean, it will be a bad problem.
He's got his shirt off. He was taking it off at the intro. How can I not?
We're all going to fail the test. Just the shirt being off might be the case with Gio.
Be careful. It's a warning. I'm giving you a warning. Heavy PED user right here.
Gio is short for GOQO. GQ.
I like
that.
Got
behind
like that.
Do you like that one?
Yeah, I'm going to save that.
Okay,
I'm going to carry that around.
Now, I used to be the alpha male in the show. But
you wear
now,
it well, Gio.
Now it's all Gio, I guess. All right, but look, let me just sum this one up because it's a little bit tricky. The rub is that lots of people fail the test, and then they're subject to some kind of suspension and a loss of income. If you can just say that the problem was I kissed somebody too passionately, that's a heck of an out. I mean, why wouldn't everybody play that card?
Well, everybody is. There's a lot of them doing it. Yeah.
As long as you have a girlfriend who will stand by and say, yes, I took the drug, and yes, I kissed that man passionately, you've got a potential out.
So we have to then think that Jeremy Curley has a really upstanding wife or girlfriend because he went straight to the ghost. He went to the afterlife. So
that's right. He
couldn't mess with whoever he's kissing.
All right. He couldn't go with the kiss blame. All right. There's a third one out there, which is the headline is Blame it
on the meat.
On the meat. Yes. Blame it on the meat.
Boy, that could go a lot of places, but we're keeping it G-rated here.
No.
Because we've got G-O. G-rated.
It's entirely legit in the sense that some animals are raised with hormones. They're injected with chemicals that could therefore lead you, if you eat the meat, to fail the test. Are you buying this? I mean, the punchline is don't eat the meat.
But this has happened more than once, too. Like one guy was stripped of his judo world title.
Yes.
He tested positive for this clenbuterol, which is the
substance me?
That...
What did you just say?
That's more than an SAT word.
Did you say clenbuterol?
I did, and I'm really proud of myself. I think I pronounced it correctly.
We can barely spell titillating. We barely found this out, and yeah, now you're throwing SAT you words out there.
I won't say the T word, but she just said the C word.
Yeah, don't mess with me because I am throwing around clenbuterol like it's nobody's business.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And we had a Houston guy here, a former Texan, Dwayne Brown, who's now with the Seattle Seahawks. He tested positive for clenbuterol.
Really?
Yes, when he was on a bi-week vacation in Mexico, and he had to produce receipts showing that he had 10 hamburgers and 2 steaks during that week, and you know what? He won his appeal.
Wow. So what we're saying is that you don't get clenbuterol from passionate kissing.
Clenbuterol.
You get clenbuterol from eating the wrong meat.
You say clenbuterol 10 times fast.
I don't know that I could ever say it legitimately. I never even knew what it was.
But there's more. This it sounds like one of those, isn't even the
clenbuterol sounds like one of those untoward diseases that you get from more than just passionate kissing. But I don't want to go there.
Yeah, Gio, beware of any girl who says, do you like girls with clenbuterol?
Yeah, stay away from them.
I'll keep that in mind. If she's saying big words like that, she's probably not in my league.
She might be smart, though.
Well, I'm not worried about the words in that case. I'm worried about the girls' clenbuterol.
Yeah, the girls, yeah.
All right. That was excuse number 3. But there's excuse number 4.
Oh, which, yeah. This one might be my favorite.
I'm going to let you describe the case of the vanishing twin.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
I hardly make this stuff up. So Tyler Hamilton, who is an American road bike racer. So you can only imagine how creative he is at this point.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do best.
So he blamed his positive drug test on his, quote, vanishing twin. He said that he absorbed the blood of his twin.
Hmm.
The twin, however, died in the womb.
So it goes way back to time in the womb. Yes. So that's how he got his clenbuterol in the womb.
My gosh, who really would take credit for that? The dead twin. This is really sick. This guy, Tyler Hamilton, I don't know what he's doing in his free time, but he may be having too much clenbuterol.
Well, if nothing better has come out of it, I have learned the word clenbuterol, and I may actually use it a few times, although I may not be able to pronounce it very well.
But you know what Hamilton says?
Yes.
He said that this wasn't my idea. That was something that came from the scientists, the doctors. It was one way to have a second blood type in your blood, and the press just went off on that. It was just one possibility. I didn't know. I never blood doped with anyone else. Blood doped.
He's got something.
Wow. That's the other thing. He says, I blood doped a lot, but I didn't take anyone else's blood.
All right.
Well, Ay-yi-yi. Tyler has got like words of wisdom.
That's the one I'm not going to stand by. I'm standing by passionate kissing. I'm going to stand by clenbuterol. And
look at you whipping out the word perfectly.
Although I don't want to get anywhere near that.
And you're standing by the ghost, too.
I'm going to stand by the ghost, but I have to draw the line with the vanishing twin.
I think we vanished that excuse.
All right, he's out.
Yeah, that's bad.
The one good thing I can say that has come out of this little
blaming
piece.
Blaming someone posthumously is a bad idea.
Well, I think what's going to happen here is that if, in fact, tomorrow you fail your PED test, you'll be prepared with an answer. Which one will you give?
I'm going to show you my hamburger receipts from tonight.
Too much meat.
Too much meat.
All right. We've got the answer from Carla. Very good.
And that's how desperate I would be. I'm Catholic. It's a Friday, and I'm still willing to eat meat.
Fantastic. All right. When we come back, we're going to get to visit with Doug Russell of WTMJ in Green Bay, and we're going to learn all things Packers. Doug Russell coming up on The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, this is an especially fun moment for me because joining us now is Doug Russell. And let me be clear, I am the boss, Carla is the gloss, and I used to be the boss of Doug Russell, joining us now from WTMJ up in Wisconsin. Doug?
Mr. Gao, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, see, I'm Mr. Gao to him.
I was just going to say, wow, he still calls you Mr. That's amazing.
You know what, I remember one time, and I will say this, and it's not because I just had the opportunity to talk to you, but Mr. Gao treated me so well, honestly, when I was in Houston, and I called him Mr. Gao every time I saw him, and then one time in the bathroom, we just happened to be crossing, I think I was going in and he was going out or vice versa, and I said, how are you, Mr. Gao? And he's like, Doug, please call me David. and I still called him Mr. Gal. Heartfelt respect. We'll put it that way.
Well, it's nice that somebody holds some respect for me. My co-host here has been awfully tough on me today.
Listen, Doug, I've had to put up with a lot this morning. I'm just surrounded by men. It's hard to contain this guy.
So, Doug Phillipson, you're on WTMJ. You're hosting a show there. How are things?
Things are great. We're doing the morning show now and also Packers post-game show. I do the out-of-town scoreboard update during the Packers broadcast as well with Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron. And we're all excited, I think, up here in Wisconsin about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is coming back. He put on his cape, and that's what they're all expecting the Superman to do, to come out and rescue this team that has been languishing around 500 for most of the year.
You know, Doug, you mentioned the perfect thing about rescuing this team, because Aaron Rodgers was very clear in his press conference yesterday that he's not coming back to save this team. He's coming back to play quarterback. And I thought that was a fascinating quote. What do you take out of that?
That's Aaron being Aaron. I wouldn't expect any less. He's always been kind of a team-first guy. And here's an example of it. So many years ago, after the Brett Favre drama that I think we all saw play out on a national stage, Brett every week for 15 years held his Wednesday media availability at the media auditorium, which was a lot easier for the reporters because you don't have anybody crowding around the locker, but it kind of separated Brett from the rest of the team. As soon as Aaron became the starting quarterback, he said, "I'm not doing that. I know it's going to be crowded. I apologize to my locker mates around me, but I'm one of 53. I'm not the most important guy in here," even though he's the most important guy in there, but he wants to be one of the guys. He wants to be a teammate. He certainly, as the most tenured member of the Packers for some time now, he certainly is the leader of the team in so many ways, not just on the field, but off. But he also is cognizant of optics, and he's cognizant of the way that he's perceived among the other 52 guys that are in the locker room. So, no, he's not going to say anything that would cause any ruffles or consternation with anybody in that locker room. He says he's there to play quarterback, when in reality, he is there to rescue this team.
We are talking to Doug Russell of WTMJ up in Green Bay. So let's look at Brett Huntley. What did we learn from his time as a starter?
He was a work in progress. I think he's still a work in progress. He's got one more year left on his contract, and they may try to spin him in the off season because he improved in the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
He's never going to be, a downfield passer type of quarterback, but he can dink and dunk, and Tom Brady's been a dinker and a dunker, for a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he can throw a long ball, but that's not his bread and butter, and I think we saw that with Brett Huntley as well. I think he's an improving quarterback, but, when you replace one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the NFL with a backup, they're going to struggle at first. But I think he improved as time went on.
You know, when Aaron Rodgers went down and Mike McCarthy had to answer questions about, is Brett Hundley going to be your guy? And the question was brought up to him about, is this the time to bring in Colin Kaepernick? And Mike McCarthy was not interested in that. Do you think that this would be a good fit for Colin Kaepernick and Green Bay, even though Huntley at the end ended up 3-4 as a starter? But as Mike McCarthy, do you think bringing in Colin Kaepernick, that would have been a good team for him to come in and test the waters?
I think that if they thought and if they knew that Aaron was going to be out for the rest of the season, if they were going to do it, they should have done it right away and not waited. And obviously they didn't. Colin was still out there, certainly. But if they were going to do it, they should have pulled the trigger on it right away. What you want is to, if you have a backup quarterback, to have him have kind of the same type of game as your starter. Because remember, it's not just one guy on the offense. You've got 10 other guys that you've got to worry about. And the skill set that Aaron Rodgers has certainly is superior to that of Brett Huntley. That's an obvious statement. But the types of quarterback that they are actually pretty similar. They've got a similar build. Aaron's arm is a little bit stronger and certainly a lot more accurate, but they can both extend plays with their feet. And, you don't have to throw out the entire offensive playbook when Brett Huntley comes in. And that's why Mike McCarthy was so adamant about, this is the path that we're going on. We still think that Aaron may at some point be able to come back at the end of the season, so we don't want to just flush everything that we're doing offensively, and Brett can handle it. And eventually he did wind up equating himself pretty well.
Yeah, he did. And you bring up a good point about Colin Kaepernick having the right system to be able to fit into for his skill set. So as far as elite quarterbacks go, obviously Aaron Rodgers at the top of the list with Tom Brady in that discussion and in Russell Wilson also. But is it fair? There are so many comparisons between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Is that a fair comparison when you look at Brady, who has all kinds of pieces around him on offense and defense, including Hall of Fame-worthy coach in Bill Belichick?
I don't think it's fair simply because I think that what they do is different. I don't think that Brady has the arm strength and has never had the arm strength that Rodgers has had. He's more of a point guard. I think Aaron is probably a little bit more mobile than Brady has always been over the course of his career. And Brady's had more success, quite frankly, than Aaron Rodgers has had over the course of his career as well. Maybe the best coach in NFL history in Bill Belichick, and the two of, and Bill Belichick has a defensive background as opposed to Mike McCarthy, who's a quarterback guru. But I think that there are some comparisons, and I get why people kind of want to paint them as contemporaries. But if I'm looking at who Tom Brady is most similar to, I'd probably go more toward Peyton Manning than Aaron Rodgers. Again, I mean, it's, when you're talking about some of the best quarterbacks of all time, not just playing right now, of all time, that's pretty rarefied air.
We are talking to Doug Russell of WTMJ in Green Bay, talking all things Packers. And now I want to ask you about the NFC. The Packers are in the hunt now for that wild card spot. At 7-6, Rodgers comes back. He hasn't played in a long time. Packers have some tough teams to finish up against. Is it realistic to think the Packers can make the wild card?
I don't think that it's likely, but I think that it's realistic. You go back to the year that they won the Super Bowl. They were 10-6. They needed to win the last two games of the season just to qualify for the playoffs. They needed a couple of tiebreakers to go their way. They squeaked in as the number six seed. They had to go on the road three straight weeks and knock off the number one, two, and three seed, not in that order, but still, they had to go to Philadelphia. They weren't favored to beat the Eagles. They beat the Eagles. They were a deep underdog at Atlanta the following week, and they boat raced the Falcons. And then they had to go up to take on the Chicago Bears, their arch nemesis, at Soldier Field, and they beat them to go on to the Super Bowl. So anytime it seems as though in the regular season the Packers' backs are against the wall, Aaron Rodgers pulls a rabbit out of his hat and lifts them to a victory and lifts them into the playoffs. Remember the famous "we're going to run the table" quote? Well, I was standing 3 feet from him when he said that, and everybody just kind of rolled their eyes. Well, guess what? They rolled ran the table all the way to the NFC Championship game. The last time Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone was in 2013. Broke his left collarbone, but not his right collarbone, not his throwing shoulder like this time around. But the Packers went more than a month playing with backup quarterbacks. They didn't win a game in that time. And then Aaron Rodgers comes in week number 17, again at Chicago against the Bears, and he pulls a rabbit out of his hat, finds Randall Cobb all alone in the end zone for the game-winning score when time expired. So it's just some sort of magic that he has in the regular season. Hasn't quite found it as consistently in the playoffs, but there's just something about when number 12 walks onto that field, makes everyone around him offensively and defensively better.
And do you think, Doug, that the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers play before this injury was mid-October? Can he regain his form from week five in that game versus Dallas when he comes back this weekend?
I think that's going to be tough. I mean, this is his throwing shoulder. I mean, I know that he was launching those 50-yard bombs a couple of weeks ago on Sunday Night Football, and that was very calculated. They knew that the cameras were there. Michelle Tafoya was standing right next to him, and he's launching these bombs. Okay, that's one thing, but he's also not wearing pads. He's also not trying to dodge linebackers. I think it's going to be very difficult for him to shake the rust, also try to avoid getting hit. We were speaking with a couple of orthopedic surgeons in the last week or so on our various programs on WTMJ, and they all said, well, if he doesn't get hit, he can probably withstand whatever pain is going to be in his shoulder, because there will be some. But if he gets hit, he could be back to square one or worse than square one if he lands on that shoulder again. So don't think that other teams, I don't know that they're going to bounty hunt him per se, but you have to exploit your opponent's weaknesses, and that's Aaron Rodgers' biggest weakness. I think it's going to be really hard for him to come back and be as good as he was for the rest of this season. I think that you're not going to see vintage Aaron Rodgers probably until 2018.
So that's Doug Russell. He's at WTMJ in Green Bay. And let me say, Doug, you've never sounded better. I'm proud to say I was once your boss, and I knew you before you were famous. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gow. It's always an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gow and Carla Dawson.
So we get to go into what is really perhaps our favorite part of the show. It's the infamous He Said, She Said segment where we look at what important people around the world of sports have said this week. And I want to begin with something that was said, but no one could hear. It was the whisper. What's the great George Michael song, The Careless Whisper? There was a careless whisper from LeBron last night.
You're showing our age, David.
Well, maybe so. My age, not yours.
Okay, let's be clear about that. Good.
But there was LeBron whispering something to Lonzo Ball post-game between the Cavaliers and the Lakers last night.
With covering his mouth with his jersey.
And see, when he covered his mouth with his jersey, it prevented anybody from reading his lips and raised a certain mystery about it all. What was he saying?
Happy birthday, Lonzo.
Well, you know that's not the case. There was something deeper than that, is there not?
Yeah, you're right.
First of all, was it Lonzo's birthday then? I guess it was. That's what they've come out with today. In the midst of all the reports, all the hype, all the questions, what did he say? Now they're claiming, well, I covered up my mouth so no one could read that I was telling him merely happy birthday. No, I think there's something more.
I think there is something more, but I think it is LeBron toying with the media. Because he says, look at this. All I have to do is like lift up my jersey and everyone's talking about me, tweeting it, all this. I think he loves this. He loves to control his own narrative. And he's able to do it with this because nobody knows except for him. So he can come out and say, I was just telling him happy birthday.
There's nothing like a good mystery, is there?
No, my gosh. And LeBron loves to do that. He breathes and everyone's like, he breathed twice instead of three times in that 10 seconds. I mean, he's got that power.
Okay.
He's got the star power.
That power intersected with Lonzo Ball and all that the Balls represent. I mean, this wasn't LeBron just whispering to anybody. It was whispering to Lonzo Ball.
In their first matchup of the year.
In their first matchup. And a Laker. So, you know, the mystery here, did LeBron say, I'll see you next year. I'll play with you next year in Los Angeles.
That's what he wants people to think. Because he did buy like a $25 million home in L.A. He's got his business interests out there and all of this. He wants us to be talking about this. He wants us to think that's what's going to happen. He likes to keep it a mystery. But if he was really a good friend, he would tell Lonzo, keep doing what you're doing as far as zipping your lips shut because your dad is messing you. He says, as Snoop Dogg said, your dad's words have put you in a lion's den with pork chop underwear on. So keep it quiet. And Lonzo, to his credit, has kept very quiet.
Wait, I need to hear that again. Snoop Dogg has said what about
legendary
Lonzo?
Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
He has said that LeVar has basically, with his mouth, put his son in a lion's den with pork chop underwear on.
Pork chop underwear. You know what? That's probably fair because the world is coming after him. The one thing I will say was notable before the game, a day or two before the game, LeBron said, look, the kid has said nothing. The kid is a humble kid. The kid just shows up and plays his butt off. It's the dad who's creating all this noise. So LeBron sort of took the side of the kid. And therefore, then the careless whisper, you put all these things together and there's an emerging bromance.
But I think maybe you just hit on what he said was, hey, keep doing what you're doing. You can't control your dad. And just keep doing what you're doing. You know, I think the Lakers would love for him to be a little more aggressive. Keep doing what you're doing with your mouth, but let's be a little more aggressive on the court. We took you number two. Show me why we should take you as number two.
Right.
But anyway, that's a whole nother subject, right?
Okay. Well, that's the first he said, she said, which is the first time we've ever had a careless whisper with words we don't know. Here's another one. RG3 made all the media rounds this week, and he really wants to play in the NFL again. But notably, he said he had two offers this year, and he turned them down. He had an offer and a chance to play for Arizona and with Baltimore, and he turned them down for different reasons. Surprising that he turned them down. But there he wants to play again, and it raises the question. There are at least three of these guys out there, RG3, Johnny Football, Colin Kaepernick, three quarterbacks, all of whom want to get into the NFL, all of whom have some sort of difficult story associated with them. Really, in each of them, there's a difficult story. When you, even RG3, the checkered history with the Redskins, and then, of course, Johnny Football, well chronicled, and then Colin with all the noise and the national anthem. Of those three, who is most likely to be playing for an NFL team next year?
I would take, if I was the general manager, I would take RG3. Because Johnny Football this week was talking to the commissioner of the CFL, and they had a very nice conversation and all of that. Johnny has physically regressed with all his partying and his drug use and all of that. He is not NFL ready, not right now. And yep. he didn't prove himself well when he was there. As far as Colin Kaepernick, we know that. I mean, that's been talked over 100,000 times.
It doesn't look like anybody wants to take him.
Right. And he really has to have a very specific system. He's not particularly coachable. He's very good at the read option dual threat system, but he doesn't fit into a traditional system. Then you look at RG3, who is also a great dual threat read option quarterback who's very injury prone. His situation at Washington, I'm not going to put the blame solely on him because he won Rookie of the Year and all of that. And then he went to Mike Shanahan, head coach at the time in Washington, and said, hey, this is the offseason after his rookie year. I really want to become more of a pocket passer. Can you help me? And Mike Shanahan basically said, nope, because Mike Shanahan didn't want him. He didn't want him from the start. So what I see in RG3 is a willingness to become a more well-rounded quarterback that fits into better systems. He's a great athlete. I do think he has injury issues, but he is coachable. I like him.
Well, as a fan, I'd like to see RG3 get another shot. I think he will get another shot. I don't think anyone's going to bet on him as a starter, but if he can get in as a backup and then inevitably get a chance to play and he performs well, that's maybe his path back into the NFL.
And isn't it interesting that we're talking about two Heismans out of those three people?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In RG3 and Johnny Manziel, Heismans that can't get on a roster.
Yep.
Not an unusual situation. Wow.
All right. The third, he said, two giants fighting. It's been well chronicled. Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones at odds. Their conflict seemed to begin around the time of the Ezekiel Elliott suspension. Goodell got his contract renewed. He is renewed at big dollars and seemingly in a good spot. The NFL has affirmed him. He will return as commissioner. And in a press conference, Jerry was there amongst other owners. And Roger Goodell was asked about his relationship with Jerry Jones and whether the conflict they'd had and Jerry's efforts to stop the renewal. Did Roger Goodell take that personally? And Goodell answered, turned to Jerry and said, Jerry, do I look like I take it personally? There it is. Goodell says he is not taking it personally and that Goodell and Jones' relationship is in good standing. Your thoughts?
I think Roger that. He handled it with the utmost class.
Yep.
Because remember, Jerry Jones threatened to, quote, come after Roger Goodell when Ezekiel Elliott did receive the 6-game suspension. And so, I mean, he's threatening him. He threatened several owners. You know, several owners are still angry about the threat of the lawsuit that Jones threatened against him. And Jones was on the compensation committee chaired by Arthur Blank from Atlanta with 6 other members. And he was kicked off after he, you know, threatened to sue these other owners. I think the interesting thing to see is that Roger Goodell, while he is not everybody's favorite person, I know you're not a big fan
of
his.
Not mine.
Look how he has handled this situation. You don't ever hear from Roger Goodell. What is the point of speaking about anything that Jerry Jones has been, you know, mouthing off? And it's interesting to note that Jerry has always marched in lockstep with Roger Goodell for years. And it wasn't until one of Jerry's players was on the block for his suspension. You know, he was all up in Roger's, you know, fan club when Robert Kraft was going through the Deflategate situation with Tom Brady. But when it turned to be actually a Dallas Cowboy and Ezekiel Elliott that went through that long process with suspension, that's when Jones started making the noise. So Roger Goodell just quietly took the lumps and bumps that Jerry was trying to give him through the media. And you know what? He saw that the other 31 owners supported Roger Goodell.
There is a narrative, though, that has come out now that Jones has fared well in this. He may not have well, he lost some battles, but he may have won the war in this regard. Goodell's new contract is very incentive laden.
90%.
90% incentive laden. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Goodell is just fat and happy. He's got to go work for his money next year. The other big change is that historically, at least, Goodell got to pick the chairman of the compensation committee, which is sort of odd. It would be like you're getting to pick the person within Gal Media who
to
is
be
going
my boss.
To be
and
your
I
boss.
Pick you.
And you picked me. Thank you. But
thank you.
That
you're
you
welcome.
Could pick the person who would set your salary. And that is a bit odd. You're going to obviously pick somebody favorable to you. And then that chairperson is going to pick other members in a committee who are also aligned in that same thinking. So that was a heck of a spot that Goodell had for many, many years to be able to pick his own boss, his own salary comp committee. That has changed. So two big points of victory for Jones, both incentive-related contract and the changing of the compensation committee.
No, that is very true. I think Jones got something out of it. But he also, you know, his player is still suspended for the six games, which was what was supposed to happen. And Goodell gets, you know, he's laughing all the way to the bank. And, you know, he is hand over fist making more and more money every year for the NFL. So I don't think he's really worried about the incentives that were put in place. Because you look already, you know, we've got these declining television ratings that, you know, maybe have to do some of it with the anthem, some of it with all these injuries, how the NFL handled things. And still, we have an increase this year. We're going to see another increase in NFL revenues and the salary cap, and a significant increase. Like this past year, $167 million salary cap in 2016. This year, it's projected to be upwards of $178 million. So Roger Goodell is saying, yeah, Jerry, okay, glad you're happy. Good, be quiet now because I'm going to meet all these with no problem.
And so Jerry's answer is, well, at least we have more accountability now. So I think each of them got something
they
out
did.
Of this.
Great. It's a great solution for both of them.
It's a great solution. And perhaps now we can change the focus. I mean, the NFL needs to shift from national anthem dialogue to Ezekiel Elliott suspension to Jerry versus Roger to the issues
the
that
CBA.
Are really most important. Yes, we got to focus. They need to focus on player safety
and player health.
Conduct on the field. Player health is the bigger deal. When you look at the narrative that has emerged in the last few weeks, just the brutality of the game, there's almost a barbarian nature to it. Mm-hmm. And that has come out. You saw the Monday night game when John Gruden is calling out the violence on the field between the Steelers and the Bengals and receivers getting clobbered all over the field. That needs to settle down. There needs the concussion protocol that hasn't been fully followed through. They haven't really managed it well. This is the bigger issue now. I hope Goodell will refocus his efforts there.
No, I hope so, because there is nothing more important in this game than player health and safety. And they need, you're exactly right, your point of just not getting caught in this minutia that really doesn't help in these issues that are so serious for the player themselves and their families. And you look at Tom Savage's awful situation in the end zone last week where he looked like he was seizing. And what does the NFL put out? It wasn't really a seizure. Like, we're not it doesn't really matter
the
if it was medically.
The fan can see with their own eyes.
Right. The bottom line, it was a really disturbing image that is, like, burned in my mind. Like, seriously, I wake up thinking about it. It was so awful. It doesn't matter if it was clearly medically a seizure. It matters that there was a guy that was not in control of his twitching and movements after a brutal and vicious hit to the head. There we go. What can you say?
Well, we will see where they head. When we come back, we're going to wrap up. There are a few hanging topics we've got to address.
All right.
And we will let Carla loose on each of those topics. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So, Carla, I need to tell you, I've been getting tweets from people, listeners, who think hour number one from you sounded different than hour two and three, and now I know why. You forgot to put your gloss on in hour number one, but hour number two, she put the gloss on her lips.
Glammed up.
And all of a sudden, everything changed.
I bring out the bling. It just changes everything.
Everything.
It's like a good pair of shoes.
Well, apparently one thing you want to bring out is a concession speech on the Heisman Trophy, because we've been debating all season who would win the Heisman. And I might like to have you say...
Give you the credit?
Yes.
Yes, because you know what? I'm going to call this the deserved and the absurd. The deserved is you for your pick of Baker Mayfield as the Heisman winner for 2017.
Early on.
And you did, and you never wavered from it. I will say that. Even when Saquon Barkley was flavor of the week, you stuck with Mayfield and you never wavered. So congratulations, David. He is a deserving guy.
But here comes the but.
Well, no, I'm going to give that to, and I'm not even going to butt, because he is deserving. you know, he's got some poor judgment off the field. But, hey, on the field, got to hand it to him. Here's my absurd. So that's the deserved. My absurd is Heisman runner-up for 2017, Bryce Love. He becomes the sixth Stanford Cardinal to lose the Heisman. Not only lose it, but to be the runner-up.
Mm.
I'm going to run through this list with you really quickly. 2009, running back Toby Gerhart loses to Mark Ingram of Alabama. 2010, Andrew Luck loses to Auburn quarterback Cam Newton. 2011, Andrew Luck loses again to Baylor's RG3. 2015, Christian McCaffrey loses to running back Derrick Henry. 2017, Bryce Love loses to Baker Mayfield. Seriously? Don't tell me there's no East Coast bias, really?
I mean, those are some big names. Luck, McCaffrey, exceptional athletes, exceptional stories.
I mean, but seriously, this is since 2009. In 8 years, that's basically Stanford has had a runner-up every other year, which speaks to their recruiting. It's not easy to recruit at a school like that with those academic standards. But honestly, you look at 870 voting media members, 145 are from the far west region. A lot of night games for the Cardinal, a lot of night games in the Pac-12. Pac-12 after dark, that's what they call it.
And not full disclosure, good. You're not on the payroll of Stanford. You're actually
not.
A USC grad, but
right.
You make a great case for some of these Stanford players.
And I shouldn't
players.
Be plugging him, but there we go. It's just too absurd. But congratulations, David. You picked Baker.
I really have nothing about Baker Mayfield other than I thought that he was the guy, when I would watch college football this year, he was the guy on the field who would just light up. Who my eye would be drawn to him.
He's a difference
maker. He was such a difference maker. He would pull you in because of what he could do on the field, the way he spread the field, his vision, and frankly, his just leadership on that team for Oklahoma, really exceptional. And maybe he'll take him to the national title.
And he made Lincoln Riley cry.
Well, great to be with you, and thank you,
so
Rick
much
Tittle.
Fun.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.